The great outdoors is a place of enjoyment, peace, and solitude. But at times, the outdoors experience goes dark. Increasingly, outdoors lovers are encountering criminal elements, psychos, dangerous wildlife, and strange weather occurrences. Our goal is to raise awareness by equipping you with cutting-edge information and to shine light into the dark outdoors. Welcome to Dark Outdoors. This is Chester Moore with his special investigative report. Dolphins are one of America's most beloved animals. From Flipper, thrilling families on television in the 1960s, to modern-day dolphin encounters at aquariums and resorts, the love affair families have with dolphins is a strong one. So when game wardens in Orange County, Texas, found a dead dolphin impaled by a fishing arrow, it sent shockwaves across national media outlets. This happened in my hometown, so a couple of days after the incident, I spoke with a local game warden. He revealed the type of fishing broadhead used in the incident was only sold at one location in the region, a popular archery shop. He said, quote, "That has really narrowed down our search. We'll find out who did this," he said. What officials did not expect was that the perpetrators were two teenage brothers who, while bow fishing, came across a young dolphin that had wandered into fresh water. So instead of enjoying seeing the beautiful protected marine mammal and reporting it was in an unusual area, they killed it. This happened only a few miles from my home in 2015 and opened my eyes to a problem few in our industry have discussed. In my opinion, America has a teen poaching crisis that needs to be addressed in a major way, and it's very, very dark. Less than a year later, a teen from Jefferson County, just one county over, was charged for killing two whooping cranes. A judge ordered the 19-year-old to pay $26,000 in restitution, barred him from owning or possession of firearms or ammunition, and prohibited him from hunting or fishing in the United States. He was also sentenced to 200 hours of community service. Shortly after this made headlines, I asked a Galveston County game warden if she had noticed any trends in game and fish violations among teenagers. The answer blew me away. Quote, "Yes, they need to stop killing our eagles." Take, for example, a 17-year-old Harris County, Texas boy who was charged in connection with the shooting of a bald eagle near White Oak Bayou. It was one of a pair that actively nested in the area for several years. A bald eagle, the symbol of the United States of America. Yes, a bald eagle. The most heinous instance of eagle poaching came from the Pacific Northwest. Washington Fish and Wildlife Police said a sheriff's department officer found evidence of teens purposely hunting for and poaching eagles. This is a quote from an official press release. Officer Bolton and the deputy searched the area for downed wildlife and soon discovered a relatively fresh doe deer on the hillside near where the suspects had parked. Four older deer carcasses in various stages of decomposition were found in the same location. The officers learned that one of the young men shot the doe the night before by using a high-powered spotlight. The animal was then placed near the other carcasses in an effort to bait in and shoot eagles. That's not an incident of an impulsive act of game law violations. That's a calculated effort that involves multiple poaching incidents to purposely kill eagles, most likely for the black market trade in their claws and feathers. Over the last 8 years now, multiple other incidents involving teens killing eagles have occurred across the country.
Pray, prepare, and pack heat. It's time for some dark outdoors defense strategies and techniques.
This episode's Dark Outdoors Defense involves dogs. I've loved dogs. I've had dogs my entire life. I will always have dogs. But there are times and places that dogs are not proper to bring in the great outdoors. There is growing human-wildlife conflict, and in my investigations, many of the conflicts involve people walking dogs. Now, sometimes dogs have defended people from animals, but in my opinion, a lot of the times the animals are attacking because there is a dog involved. In the last year, there have been moose attacks, elk attacks on people because of dogs, and there is a growing concern of bear attacks, especially in the American South, where people are not used to bears so much, and bears are coming back because bears naturally do not like dogs. So there have been people attacked by bears because they were walking a dog. And even people walking the dog, the bear attacks the dog, they defend the dog, and the bear attacks them. Also, incidents of feral hogs. I interviewed a man attacked by a feral hog in East Texas while walking his Great Pyrenees cross. And the thing was, this hog was being pursued by hunting dogs, already keyed up about dogs. So, dogs are a great friend. They can be great defenders. But here is my dark outdoors defense tip for you. If you go into an area that has a lot of feral hogs, and certainly a lot of bears, or even elk or moose, leave your dog at home or leave it in the vehicle when you go hiking, because your dog can be a big trigger for a lot of these animals. But it's not just eagles and dolphins. An 18-year-old and a 23-year-old were charged with capturing, harassing, and harming three endangered key deer, the smallest subspecies of whitetail, which is also a federally endangered species. According to a report at Local10.com, the 18-year-old said he lured three of them with food, restrained them, and put them in the car in a plan to take pictures with them. All three deer had to be euthanized due to broken legs. An article at GoHunt.com details two high school-age males are guilty of poaching 10 mule deer in Macon County, Montana. Quote, according to Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, the deer were killed with a shotgun using loads typically used for pheasants. All of the deer were discovered on a two-mile stretch near Road 528 in northern Macon County. Not to be outdone, four Pennsylvania teenagers went on a whitetail poaching spree that one wildlife official called, quote, one of the most disturbing incidents he's ever seen. Two 17-year-olds and one boy aged 16 killed at least 30 deer by spotlighting with a headlamp or their car lights, exiting the vehicle in the deer-rich area and opening fire. Officials said they probably wounded many more than could be accounted for. Quote, it was almost like a video game for them. They did it because they were bored, said Clint Denaker, a wildlife conservation officer with the Pennsylvania Game Commission, in a press release issued after the grisly incident. There is no telling how many deer were killed or wounded, he said, adding that he can account for at least 30. A 2020 incident in Wisconsin involved multiple teens over the course of a month, killing 40 whitetails and one horse. All of them were left to rot. And there are numerous other incidents involving dozens of deer and other game killed in similar sprees by teens all around the nation. This is not an indictment of teens. It's not one of those diatribes we often hear in our culture like, the kids these days are rotten. I dedicate much of my life to working with teens. I believe in them and think there are things about the current crop of teens that shows incredible promise for our future. But this teen poaching thing has to be addressed, and it has to start with an admission. Most, if not all of these teens came from hunting families. While we as hunters rightfully denote that poaching and hunting are actually radically different practices, these kids are familiar with game, firearms, and in several instances were engaged in legal hunting activities when an opportunity to poach came along. That means somewhere down the line, we have to, for those of us in the hunting community, talk about this issue and find ways to engage it with the kids directly.
In increasing numbers, people across North America are going missing in the wild. Dark Outdoors is committed to shining light on this topic and raising awareness when public interest in these cases fades away.
This episode's Missing in the Wild is the unusual case of Rodriguez Durrell Keith, a 37-year-old male who has been missing since May of 2022. Keith is a member of a local tribe, was last in contact with his family in March of 2022. He described as a black man standing at 5 feet 10 inches tall and weighing 185 pounds. Keith is a seasoned survivalist with a history of living off-grid for extended periods. However, it is noted that he would typically maintain some sort of contact with his family during these times. Authorities are urging anyone who may have had contact with him, Rodriguez Durrell Keith, or information about his possible whereabouts, to call the Talladega County Sheriff's Office. They can be reached at 256-761-2141. That's 256-761-2141. This season's Missing in the Wild segment is brought to you by BAC Shows, incredible boat, sport, and RV shows taking place this year in Louisiana and in East Texas. Get more information at bacshows.com. That's bacshows.com. Now back to our special Dark Outdoors investigative report. But we need to ask some questions first. How much does parental influence play into this? There is no question some of these cases involve a long line of game law violations generationally. A 2019 case from Alaska is a prime example, as a father and his 17-year-old son killed a mother bear and her two babies in a den. What they didn't realize was the bear had a GPS collar on it and a camera to monitor their hibernation habits, so they got busted in short order. A father who raised his son or daughter to go to the level of killing baby bears in a den shows authority figures can play a large role influencing teen poaching, but it's not the entire answer. Social media notoriety. In our culture, some of the most famous people are now famous for only doing something famous or controversial. They haven't actually accomplished anything. But those who have broken laws or done immoral things and publicize them on social media are famous. Is there a link between social media celebrity and teen poaching? A 2020 Texas case was solved because the teen that poached a deer that was well known living in a neighborhood bragged about it on Facebook. Officials believe the aforementioned Pennsylvania teen deer massacre was being communicated behind the scenes through Snapchat. Something else to look at is the power of suggestion. Social media and traditional outdoors media outlets have unfortunately been a place for dark sentiment regarding wildlife. While we can agree that much of the quote green movement has little to do with actually protecting the environment, some of the rhetoric rallying against it is quite dark, and is hauntingly similar to things we're seeing play out in some of these teen cases. A few years back, I encountered several people who used social media and at least one outdoors radio program to suggest shooting dolphins as a cure for ailing flounder populations. This was a quote from an email I got when I responded to this on my social media. Quote, "They are always out there in the passes flipping those flounder out of the water and eating them, so we should start killing some of the dolphins," end quote. Interestingly, this radio program that said this broadcasted in the area where the teens shot the dolphin. This idea, by the way, gained a large enough following that I received multiple emails and social media messages about it. I don't know how many times I've heard things like, "Wild game meat tastes like bald eagle" or "spotted owl." Those comments aren't funny and could be damaging to the cause of hunting if uttered in front of a non-hunter. But could they also influence teens who want to impress adults? It's something to ponder. Games are also something that needs looked at. A few years ago, I received a hunting video game to review in the mail. I'm not a gamer, and since it was unsolicited, I did not review it. But when I came across this teen poaching crisis, I studied the game. The game had multiple opportunities to kill non-game and even endangered animals. Some hunting games are very ethical, with bag limits, seasons, and other aspects of how true hunters conduct themselves. I would even say most hunting games I've seen are not set up in a way that are negative toward animals. But there's another side to it. There are some games based on survival that have nothing to do with hunting, and killing animals is part of it. This includes non-game, protected, and endangered animals. And it makes me circle back to the quote from the warden in charge of the Pennsylvania case, quote, "It was almost like a video game for them. They did it because they were bored," end quote. Looking into the content of first-person shooter games is certainly something we should do as families, and maybe for those of us who work in the hunting industry, start looking more seriously at it. There is obviously a gap somewhere in wildlife education and awareness of the penalties for these kinds of atrocities. Teens have had their lives uprooted by the consequences of these senseless actions. The great news is there are more teens engaged in conservation than there are poaching, and it's time we highlight them even more in media outlets like this one. The Houston Safari Club Foundation education work with Houston and area school districts is a shining example. Teens get to see conservation-centric hunting information and are inspired to give back to our natural resources. Programs like Texas Brigades often do a great job of instilling a conservation ethic. I have personally been inspired to see how mentoring can help teens through our Higher Calling Wildlife Expeditions and Mentoring Program. And one particular occurrence touches directly on this issue. I took 14-year-old Nathan Childress on a, quote, green hunt for Nubian ibex at a friend's ranch. Instead of a standard rifle, he had a dart gun, and the mission was to dart the massive ibex billy that had jumped the fence and gotten into another pasture. After a long afternoon of hunting, Nathan made a perfect shot. He got to inoculate the ibex against disease, pose for some cool photos with it, and help move it to another pasture. As the sun set on the Texas Hill Country that evening, Nathan said something profound. Quote, "When people teach you the right way to hunt, and you get to do things like this, you want to do the right thing to honor that. I will never poach animals because I respect them too much and want to make sure kids 10 years from now can have opportunities like I just had." End quote. We can have more testimonies like this, like Nathan's testimony, if we invest more time and effort, not only into youth education, but mentorship. But we also have to dig into what is happening with teens in this poaching crisis raging across America. Something is influencing teens to not only damage wildlife populations and tarnish the reputation of legal hunters, but it also damages their lives. As an industry that I'm part of, we must confront this for the sake of the future of wildlife and our youth. This has been a special Dark Outdoors investigation report, shining light into dark places in the great outdoors. Dark Outdoors is brought to you by Texas Fish and Game Magazine. Learn more at fishgame.com. You can subscribe to the print magazine there, also the e-mag, and also you can subscribe to our award-winning 3 times weekly e-newsletter, The Fish and Game Report. Check it out at fishgame.com. If you would like to share a dark outdoors encounter, email me at chester@chestermoore.com. That's chester@chestermoore.com. Please subscribe to this program. Follow me on Instagram @thechestermoore and also Higher Calling Wildlife on Facebook. Subscribe to my blog at highercalling.net. And remember, never enter the great outdoors before you pray, prepare, and pack heat.